I'm holding on for Jim Omid Bey's second line from the bottom. The Gemara says, "Kisalik Rav Kahana." When Rav Kahana went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama a whole story how Rav Kahana was forced to leave Bavel. To make a long story short, there had been a yid over there who was threatening to master on another one, and Rav Kahana killed him. And Rav tells him, "You're going to be in danger because of the government doesn't look kindly on that kind of thing." So Rav Kahana was forced. was forced to move to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara there in Rav Kama has a whole story with him and Rav Yochanan. Anyway, so now when Rav Kahana went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechinu l'bnei Rav Priya, he met up there with the sons of Rav Priya. The sons of Rav Priya, their names are Yehuda and Chizkiah. Chizkiah, we have mentioned in a lot of places, he comes up in a lot of places in Shas. Yehuda, a little less so. It seems that Yehuda passed away long before Chizkiah did. Before we get into what actually happened between them, Tosfos brings up an interesting point that the question is, in that Gemara in Bava Kama, the Gemara tells the whole story over there, how Rav Kahana went to Rav Yochanan's yeshiva, and Rav Yochanan was the senior Rosh Yeshiva over there. Rav Yochanan himself was a Talmud of Chizkiah. So how would that work over there then? How would that work? How is Rav Yochanan being the great Rosh Yeshiva if his Rebbe Chizkiah is still alive? And in fact, Tosfos refers to a Gemara there. It refers to a Rashi in Gittin. That's where Rashi says just that based on our Gemara over here, that Rav Kahana went to Eretz Yisrael during the time of Chizkiah. But Tosfos brings up some questions about it. Again, how is Rav Yochanan being the great Rosh Hashiva over there and having many Talmidim in front of him? Tosfos says that maybe Rav Kahana went to Eretz Yisrael more than once. But then Tosfos goes on to discuss more the whole detail of it about when Rav Kahana went and how that would work as far as the chronology. So Rav Kahana found over there the sons of Rav Priya, the Yasri Lekahanim. They were sitting and saying as follows: Isorin Shechilkoi. Suppose you have an Isorin of a Mincha, which a Mincha, by definition, as we've learned before and as we're going to learn throughout the Masechta, never consists of less than an Isorin of flour. Shechilkoi. Suppose you divide it into two parts, the Hinichai Bevisa, and you put the two parts into a Bisa. A Bisa is a bowl where a Mincha is mixed. So now, the two parts are not touching one another, but they're both inside the same cave. V'noga tvuyoyim ve'echad mehem. Now, tvuyoyim touches one of those pieces, but not the other. Mahu, what would be the din as far as the other one? And we're focusing specifically on the tvuyoyim, because he makes a very low degree of tumah over there. A tvuyoyim touches Kodshim, which is what we're dealing with over here, because a mincha is Kodshim, then the din is he makes it reveal the tumah, which is the lowest degree of tumah. It's not able to be metame something else. On the other hand, as we're going to say over here, you have a concept called siruf kli. You have a concept that when it comes to Kodshim, things that are in the same keli combine together and are considered to be one unit. So Rashi points out it specifically mentions tvuyoyim because had it been a regular tumah, then there's no question. Now she says that the tumah would be metame the keli, and the keli in turn would be metame the rest of the mincha. Achronim talk about, the Taras HaKodesh talks about that maybe that when Rashi says that it would be Matame the Kaili, how would that work? Depends on the degree of Tumah. So he says maybe what it means is that it would be Matame one part, which in turn would be Matame the other part as soon as it touches it. Anyway, the question is, but now where it was only a Tvuyoyim, Mahu, what would be the deal? Kitznan Kli Mitzaref Mashav Asos of the Kodesh. Now we learn in the Chagiga that one of the dinim that applies to kodshim that does not apply to other kinds of foods is that a keli combines together what's inside it as far as kodesh. That even if you have several pieces inside a keli and a tvuyoyim or the source of tumah touches one of them, all of them become tumah. Maybe you could say hani mi dehefer b'navi b'hadot. Maybe that would only mean when they're touching one another. And again, the idea would be that since the tvuyoyim makes the piece that he touches a revi, if that touches the other one, now it would make it a chamishi, and there's no such thing as a chamishi l'tumah. So therefore, we could say but you could say that when there's siluf kli involved, then fine, we would say that the effect of it is to make both of them revi, and therefore both of them posel. Aval heichad b'loy nagi b'hadadi. But the question would be if they're not touching one another. If they're not touching one another loy, then we wouldn't say there's a problem. So there would be a problem with the first half, the actual part that the Torah didn't touch, but not the other part. So then what you'd do is this would be the equivalent of, now we learned back in the first parak that if you have a mincha and you haven't yet taken the kermits from it, and then part of the yisorin went missing, then you fill it up, you go bring more flour and refill the yisorin and store it from there. So then it would be the same kind of thing over here. You'd have to take the part that the Torah didn't touch, remove it, discard it, or do whatever you do with a posel of mincha, and then bring another half yisorin and use it to fill up and store it, and store it from there. So would we say that? Oduma loishna. Or maybe there's no difference. Even if they're not touching, there's still the whole thing becomes posel. The whole thing becomes posel because of the tevoyon. So that was the question that Rav Chiya's sons Yehuda and Chizkia had for Rav Kahana. Incidentally, Rav Kahana over here in that story in Bava Kamma is a Talmud of Rav. Meanwhile, the sons of Rav Chiya were of the same generation as Rav. So you can see that they already recognized Rav Kahana as a very formidable Talmud Chacham, and they realized that this is the kind of question they can ask him. In that story in Bava Kamma also, by the way, when Rav Kahana first comes to Rav Yochanan's yeshiva, he comes there after Rav Yochanan has already left for the day, and Rish Lakish is busy reviewing the shiur with the Talmidim, and he starts picking it apart with questions, and Rav Shlokesh has to go tell Rav Yochanan, Ari Olam Bavel, a lion, a formidable Talmud Chacham, has come up from Bavel. So here we see also that Rav Kahana was great enough that even the sons of Rav Chiya from the previous generation would be asking him their questions. Anyway, Omar Lahu Ihu, so Rav Kahana answers them, Mitnan Pli Mechaber. After all, does that Mishnah in Chagiga use the expression the Keli connects, which would suggest that it means that it's considered that it's all actually connected. And then that would imply, in other words, that we're talking about that they're touching one another, and then the Kaili considers it, and then the Kaili makes it considered as one. No, Klimat Sarech Tanan. The expression is the Kaili combines together, kol derhu, no matter what, even if they're not touching one another, then yes, anything that's inside the Kaili, even if they're not touching, is going to be affected. So therefore, the answer to your question would be yes, the whole thing becomes possible because of the Tzvoyon. Okay, they ask him, Hoshit Echad B'meneihem Mahu, what about if, now what happens, so you have these two half Esroinim, one in each part of the Keli, and then you put another piece, you put another half Esroinim in between the other ones. So now would that also combine with then Mahu, what we did in, would the other two halves, so now if it's volume touches that piece in the middle, what's going to happen to the pieces on the side? Now the question is, in other words, on the one hand, they're all in the same Keli. On the other hand, there doesn't need to be any Sarin and a half and a Keli in the Keli. There needs to be one Isarin. And we're going to learn later in the Masecht, actually, that we're saying that the minimum size for a Mincha is one Isarin, but you also can't bring fractions of an Isarin. You want to bring one Isarin, two, three, etc. You can do whole numbers, but not fractions. So there's no business of one and a half Isarinim being in this Bisa, being in this Keli. So now you put in another half Isar and Mahu, what would be the din if the Tevoyim touches that piece in the middle? Amalahu said, Rav Kahana answers them, Sorech l'kli, kli mitzarekoi. Only what requires the keli, the two parts of the mincha required to be in a kli sharis, therefore kli mitzarekoi, therefore the keli combines them together. She'ein sorech l'kli, but if you don't, whatever does not need the keli, as in this case over here, where the half Isarin doesn't belong there, in Kli Mitzarekoi, then the whole concept of Tzir of Kli doesn't apply, and therefore that, so that piece will be Tomei, the other two will not. Okay, fine. They ask another question. Hoshit Tevor Yom as a Tzvoy Beinehem. What would happen if the Tevor Yom sticks his finger between the two parts, namely, he just sticks his finger, so let's say there is a space between them, and he sticks his finger into that space between them, without actually touching either of them. The fact is, the only kevi that can be metame from its airspace without the truma actually touching it is a kli cheres. And since the bisa, since this keli that the mincha is in, is not a kli cheres, it's not an udenware keli, we're going to learn actually in a few dafim, we're going to learn a machlokas between Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim, what clay sharis can be made out of, according to the Chachamim, only metal, according to Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, almost anything, but even he agrees they can't be made out of earthenware. So therefore, by definition, he says, then therefore, there's no way that the tumor could affect the keli or anything inside it unless they actually physically touch the food or the keli. So in other words, the idea would be they thought that since a klima tzaref, maybe that means that even the finger in there would also make it tamei. But he's telling them it's no because it's not a klis teres. So fine. They had asked him three questions and he answered all of them right off the bat. Now, hodu il bominayu. Now he in turn asked them a question. Mal likmets mizelze. So suppose now that we have the two detached halves of the mincha that are in the keli. Would we be able to do the commit with the koyim be able to do the kmitza from one part having in mind the whole thing? Meaning if they weren't if we didn't say tziruf kli, then for sure it wouldn't work. The whole mincha has to be together when you take the koyimets. But here we're saying they are in one keli and we're talking about this matter of tziruf kli. But the question would be tziruf daraisa, is this concept of tziruf kli, the fact that two things that are in one keli are combined together and therefore we said that the tumah of one automatically affects the other one, would that be a din daraisa? Which, why would it be Daraisa? Rashi points out the relevant Gemara and Chagiga tells us that we can learn from the Korbanos of the Nesiim. One of the things that the Nesiim brought the first 12 days of the Mishkan's dedication was Kaf Achas Asara Zahav Maleach Teres. One spoon of weighing 10 shekels, full of Teres. And the Gemara explains that because it says Kaf Achas, one spoon, so we learn that the spoon, because all the ketores that's in the spoon is considered one unit. And from that we learn this concept of tziruf kli. So now that would mean, so usually we talk about it l'chumra, as far as what we were just saying, that if one part becomes tamei, then the whole thing becomes tamei, even as Rav Kahana told the sons of Rav Chiya, even if they're not touching. But do we also do it l'kula, to say, therefore, that the two detached halves of the mincha inside one keli are considered like one big mincha, and therefore you can take a koimetz from one to the other? If it's Daraisa, then you can do that. So is it Daraisa? Or is it Rabbanon? Or maybe it's only a Din Rabbanon, and then we can only do it as far as a Chumrah. So in other words, we would say that so either the Drosha is not a Drosha, or it's only an Asnachta, and therefore maybe we would say we can only apply it L'Chumrah to say that the Tumah will spread from one to the other, but we can't, the Chachamim don't have the ability to make this concept of Siruf apply to something Daraisa, such as the Din of taking the Koimetz, which is required Daraisa, so maybe it would work, maybe not. Tosfos points out that the Gemara and Chagiga, Rav Kahana himself proves that it's Dirabanan. But the Gemara discusses over there different possibilities, and it does bring up an explanation according to which you could say Zeraisa, and therefore Rav Kahana himself is not really sure. Omrulai. So that's the question. Can he take the koimetz from that detached mincha or not? Omrulai. So the sons of Rav Chiya answered him. Zuloi shamainu. We didn't exactly hear from our Rebbeim what would be the din in that case. Kayotzebo Shemayinu, but we did learn something very similar from it, from which we think we would be able to answer your question based on it. Zitnan, namely our Mishnah. Shtei menachas shle nikmetsu, two menachas where the koimetz had not been taken from either one, the nisaru zubazu, and they were mixed up with one another. Im yachol likmetz mizubuth ne'asma, if there's enough that was unmixed, that you're able to take a koimetz from each one, then the menachas are kosher, and in other words, you'll have in mind each one when you're taking its koimetz that you're taking it on behalf of the whole mincha wherever in the keli it is. Being love, and the Mishnah had said, if there's not enough that was unmixed, then psulis, then we said they're possible because, as we learned in the Mishnah, then the problem is you're not going to necessarily be taking a full koimetz from every one, and as we learned previously, if the koimetz is missing anything, then it's possible. Now, Rav Kahana points out, or the sons of Rav Chiya rather point out in answer to Rav Kahana, ki yochol likmetz miyekshedus. Okay, so in any case, you're telling us that if you're able to take a koimetz from each one, if enough of them is unmixed that you're able to take a koimetz individually from each one, then they're kosher, kshedus. Am I? Now you'd have to ask, why would it be kosher? After all, the part that's mixed with the other mincha is not touching the other part because You may have, in other words, there may be a segment of the original mincha that now is mixed with the other one and detached from the rest, from the body of the mincha, and nevertheless was and if we were to consider them detached, and you can't do that, then you wouldn't be able to take the kohen from it. The fact that the Mishnah is saying that you can implies we don't care whether they're detached; they're all in the same keli, and therefore the kmitza of one is that the kmitza from the larger part. Is effective also for the little bits and pieces that are in other places in the keli mixed up with the other mincha. So therefore, they tell Rav Kahana, that would answer your question. You are able to do that. However, Omar Rava, but Rava says that's not really a solid proof. Duma begushin hamcholokin hasuin kimasrik. Because maybe what we mean is that the two parts of the mincha are divided from one another, but they're in the shape of a kol. So in other words, what you have is, it actually describes the same way as a comb, you have one end of it is a solid piece. The other end of it has teeth that stick out the same way. In other words, you can have at each end there is enough to take a kohen from, but they're touching at the other end. So they're touching. They're not really mixed together, but they're touching. There's a diagram over here that shows that you have the two of them almost like interleaved. You have like there's the body of one mincha, and then there's the body of the other, and then you have fingers sticking out from each one towards the other, and then interconnecting like that. So each one is in fact a complete thing. There's none of it that's detached from the other, but they're mixed together in the sense that you can't separate them. So there's no proof from that. Maybe in that kind of case, you'd be able to take kohmets from each one, but maybe if there were actual pieces of it that are separated from the body of it, then maybe it wouldn't work, and therefore we wouldn't be able to answer the Kahana's question. So the Gemara says, Mai havi Allah. Okay, well then what is the bottom line? What is the answer to the Kahana's question? Amar Rava Toshma. So Rava says, we'll prove from the following Braisa. The Tanya. When the Pasuk says Vehedim Mimenu, when the Pasuk says he should pick up, he should lift up from it, from the mincha, so what does this mean, Mimenu? Vehedim, he should lift up from the mincha of the kohen. That's why does it have to say Mimenu? Means Mina Mechubar, means it has to be from what's attached together. Shalayavi Isorin, which they came in the Yitmot, meaning that you cannot bring the Isorin in two different kalim and take the kohen. So you have to have the entire Isorin has to be in one kalim. Well, Rava says, ha, the kliyacha, dumi the shnei kalim. Now, the implication is that as long as they're in one kalim, even though it's similar to two kalim in that the two parts don't touch one another, comments, then you would be able to take the comments. Well, there's the answer to the Kahana's question. It would be fine to do that. However, omale abaya, but abaya says to Rava, that's not really a proof. Duma shnei kalim, heki dumi. You know what the braisa may mean? By saying that you can't have the mincha in two kalim would mean going kapiza b'kava. Suppose, for example, you have a kapiza, which is a smaller measure, carved out from a larger one. So let's say, for example, in other words, you start out with a large keli, the size of a calf, then you hollow out in the wall of it or whatever a smaller keli. And then, so now you put a half isarin into the smaller part and a half an isarin into the larger part. And the point is, the afa gavda reaving the me'iloi. So even though they're mixed up, even though they're mixed together further up, namely, you only have, like, there's a low wall between them at the beginning, but then after that, they blend together, kibbin the mifsek mechitzosa, the kapiza mitata, it's nevertheless, since the walls of the kapiza measure are separating it down on the bottom, inside the keli, Rashi explains like this. If you were to heap the flour into this keli, then it would mix on top. Because what you have is, in other words, the wall between the kapiza part and the rest of it goes all the way until the top rim of the keli. So if you pour the flour, you put half an isarin into one, half an isarin into the other, they're not going to touch unless they stick up above the rim of the keli. There, you're going to have one big heap. There, they're going to blend together. Nevertheless, since you have walls between them on bottom, then the braisa is telling us that you can't do that. Now, what would it mean when they're in one keli, like two kelim? Not necessarily like you're talking about rubber, that they're completely detached. Heifidami, namely, the case would be kugena revas tanagoylim. Suppose, for example, the kind of dish that you use to set out food for chickens. So now what you do is it actually describes that the bowl or the container that you would set out food for chickens, you have one part for the food, one part for the water, and you have a low wall between them. So kind of like a dog dish, for example. So you have, now there the difference is the walls don't go all the way until the top edge. You have, there's an inch or two of height of wall between the food compartment and the water compartment. And then above that, the walls continue on the side and go all the way up. So now within the keli itself, you don't have to resort to the heap on top of the keli. Within the walls of the keli itself, you have room for them to mix above the, above that low wall. So when it would be that kind of thing, then it would be fine. But I forgot the mifsik and the chitzasa, even though the walls are separating the two parts underneath, hanagia, the fact is they're touching one another within the airspace of the keli, and therefore it would be fine. Avahocha, but in our case over here, so then you could say that's the braisa is implying, in other words, you can't have, if you're going to have a keli that has a wall in it, then that has a partition in it, you can only, it will work only if that partition doesn't extend all the way to the top edge of the keli. So that, within the airspace of the keli, there's still room for the two halves to mix. And they do, in fact, mix. But in your case, in Rav Kahana's case, rather, where they're not touching one another at all, you can still have the question, and therefore, according to that way of looking at it, don't do it because it might be considered that it might be considered possible because they're not touching one another at all. Maybe the Braisa is only implying that as long as they're touching, there can be a low wall between them. So the Rambam paskins as far as the question. In the end, it's left as a suffix. That you shouldn't take the kmitza from it. If you did take the kmitz, then you shouldn't burn that kmitz. If you did, then hutza, then the korban is accept, then the mincha is acceptable with the yevet. Although even then you don't eat the shirayim because it might be like what we learned in earlier in the masechta, where if there's something missing of the shirayim between the kmitza and the burning, then you're not allowed to eat the shirayim, and that's how it would come out over here, basically because of the suffix. So the Rambam, by the way, as far as this matter of walls of partitions inside the keli, the Rambam understands the case is a little bit differently. He says, so you could have, so he explains like this. If there's a partition in the keli in the bottom part of it, so even though it mixes up above, even though again, to use the example we were giving before with a dog dish or something like that, you have a low part or the Gemara gave as for a dish that you're feeding chickens with, you have a low wall between the two parts between the two compartments. Nevertheless, the Rambam says even though it's mixed up on top, nevertheless you still can't take the kmitza from it, and if you did, it would be outright possible. That would still be considered. So in other words, the Rambam learns our Gemara differently and says that even that in this case of Kapisa Bakaba, it's not just like Rashi says where the walls reach all the way to the rim of the container. Even the Rambam is learning they don't reach all the way to the rim. Nevertheless, it would be possible. If it was the other way around, the Rambam says if the bottom part does not have a partition between them, and then further up in it you have a partition between the two halves, then it would be kosher. Then you would be able to take the kmitza from it, because in other words, according to the Rambam's way of looking at it, they have to be connected together on the bottom. On the bottom, on the floor of the keli, and then if there's something further up that divides them, then that's not a big deal. So in fact, the Kesef Mishnah points out that actually the Rambam apparently would understand that's the case of the chickens bowl would be like that, where they're mixed together on bottom and then they're separated on top. So in any case, Rav Kahana's question is left unresolved with the implications and halacha that that has. Okay. The Gemara continues. Boy, Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya has another question in this connection as far as this matter of siruf kli, of combining together different things that are in the same keli. Siruf kli v'chibru mayim mahu. What would happen if there's a combination of two things in a keli and there's also a connection with water? So Rashi explains like this. So you have two halves, you have a half Yisaron and another half Yisaron in the keli, and they're not touching. Now, we said before, if it's Voyon were to touch one of those halves, then the other one would become Tomei because it's Siruf Kli. But here the twist is that what you have is there's another half Yisaron outside the keli, And then there's something, there's water, there's a flow of water connecting the half Isarion outside the Keli with one and a half Isarion inside the Keli. So now if the Tumah, if Tumah touches the other one, if Tumah now touches the one of the ones that's in the Keli, so of course it'll be the Tameh, the other one, because of Tziruf Kli, but will it also be the Tameh, the one that's outside, the half Isarion that's outside, because they're connected by water? The question read, Kitznan Klin Tzarach Mashav Asecha LeKodesh, when we're saying that the Keli combines together what's inside it as far as Kodesh, Hanimi LeDegavoy, that's only things that are inside the container. Aval DeBroi Loi, but not in this case, where you have one part of it outside the Keli. So maybe that part wouldn't become Tameh. Or Duma, Kivin Mechaber, Mechaber, or maybe since it's connected, then it's still connected. The fact is, it's connected by water, and therefore all of it, all one and a half Asyonim, the one Isara and the two sections that are in the Keli, and the one that's outside that's connected by water, would all become Tameh, or would all become Possel in the case of a Toyo. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos wonders about it because since when does liquid connect water to be not only makabel, no, does liquid connect food to not only makabel tumah, but to be metame other things as well? And Rashi is also describing one possibility that there's a column of water being poured from a keli that's touching them, and a Mishnah tells us that nitzuk, that a pour like that, a column of liquid pouring, is generally not combining, generally does not combine things for tumah. Nonetheless, Tosfos points out that there was a Mishnah in Masechta Taras that seems to talk about Rashi's scenario. So Tosfos wonders how it would work, but the fact is we have a Mishnah that's saying that it does. The Shittim Kubetzes has a different understanding of it. The Isarion itself, we're not talking about Isarion and a half, according to Shittim Kubetzes. We're talking about that the Isarion itself was divided into three parts. Two of them are inside the Keli, the third one is outside, and you have Nitzok or whatever, combining, connecting the piece outside into one of the ones inside. So in other words, the key point is, in other words, that according to Rashi's explanation, the third half Isarion is not necessarily Kodesh in the first place, whereas in the Shittim Kubetzes' scenario it is. In any case, so Rav Yirmiyah asks the question, would we say that what's outside does not become Tameh because it's not inside the Keli, and Siruf Kli wouldn't apply, or would it still apply because it's connected by the liquid? And continues Rav Yirmiyah, the Intim Salem of Kibin the Mechaber Mechaber, if you're going to answer that since it's connected, it is considered connected, and therefore all of them would become Tameh, then we can ask a different question. Kibu Mayim, but Siruf Kli, what about if you have the other way around? Also, you have water connecting the parts, and you have water connecting the outer piece to the pieces inside, to one of the pieces inside, and then now the other way around, if the outside one became Tameh, and by virtue of being connected by liquid to one of the inner ones, we would say that it makes the one that's inside Tameh as well. Then what about Mahu, what would be the din? Would the other part that's not connected by the water and is only connected by the Keli, would that become Tameh? So in other words, there's no question the one on the outside would become Tameh because the Tumah actually touched it. There's no question that the one that's connected to by water would become Tameh because if we're going to say not one, there's no question, but if we're going to say in Tim Salimar on the previous question, that the answer is the water does connect them. But what about the third piece, the one that's inside the Keli but not physically connected to them at all? Would we say Kitznan Klimat Saref? When we say that the Keli combines things together, that would apply only when the Tumah touches on the inside of the Keli. So it touches one of the pieces inside the Keli, then automatically the Tumah spreads to the other one because of Tziruf Kli. Not when the Tumah, to begin with, came from the outside. Maybe there'd be no difference. And the answer is Teku. We have a Suffolk in that case. So it's a Suffolk Tumah, in short. As usual, the Goyim already write that when the Gemara gives an Imtim Tzoloimar, when it says, if you're going to say such, then we can ask the next question, that means the Halacha is like that one. So indeed, the Rambam Paskins, in the first case, all of them will be Tameh, and in the second case, we have a Suffolk Tumah. More on this question of a mincha that was divided into two parts. Boi Rava, Isorin Shechilkei. Suppose you took the Isorin and split it into two parts, and they're inside the kevel. V'nitma echad mehen. Now, suppose that one of those parts became tameh. Now we're talking about he didn't yet place it in the kevel, so therefore siduf kli doesn't factor in yet. So now he took the part that was tamei and the part that was tahor, v'hi micha de bisa, he put them into the bisa, into the keli, the Rambam, by the way, as far as the previous question, has a bit of a different understanding of the previous question. He understands there were two pieces of mincha, or two piles of food or whatever inside the keli. One of them is connected to water that's on the outside of the keli, and now a tomei touched the one that's not connected to the water. Does the water on the outside of the keli also become tomei? So according to the Rambam, the question isn't so much about the food. The question is about the water on the outside of the keli, whether it's considered connected to the other one. So now you have the next question. Boi Rava, Isorin Shechilkei, you divided up the Isorin into two parts. The Nitma Echaman, one of them became Tomei, but not inside a Kevi, so therefore Tzilus Kli is not applicable. The Hinicha de Bisa, then he put the two halves into the Bisa, and one of them is not touching the other, so now Tzilus Kli is not going to apply either, because Tzilus Kli applies only when the two of them were in the Kevi at the time of the Trumah. The various cases that we've discussed so far were all that the two pieces, or however many pieces it were all inside the same keli at the time when the tumah came into play. Here we're talking about when the tumah took place, none of them were in the keli, and therefore putting them in the keli afterwards is not going to create siruf kli. So now, v'chozer tvoyoyim menoga ba'oisei tomei. Now, if tvoyoyim came and touched that same piece that had already become tamei. Mahu, what would be the din? The question is, miyamin and sova loy tumah oloy. Do we say that that first piece has already been filled up with tumah, and therefore there's no room for more tumah to apply to it? In other words, what would we say over you? You have piece A was already tamei. Now you're placing it in a keli with piece B, and now a tevul yom is touching it. The question is, are we going to say that now the tevul yom is creating a tumah in A, which therefore spreads to B, or are we going to say that no, A is already tumah, it can't become more tumah, so now nothing's going to happen, the tumah that A had before is definitely not spreading to B, because they weren't in the same keli at the same time. Now you're telling me a new tumah touched A, should it affect B, or do we say no, A is already full of tumah as it can be, and therefore it can't affect B anymore. So that's the question. So miyamin sovaloi tumah oloi, do we say that it's already been filled up with tumah and there's no room for any more tumah to be chal on it, or do we not say that? Omalei Abaya says to Rava, miyamin sovaloi tumah. Since when do we even say this kind of thing of sovalei tumah? Do we say that once something is tumah, then it can't become more tumah, and therefore the new tumah that touches it is not going to affect something else? Well, it's not. We learn a relevant Mishnah in the Sechta Kedem about this. You have a sheet, tomei midras, that became tomei from the tumah of midras, a zov lay on it. And then you took that sheet and turned it into a curtain. Now as a curtain, now for example as a door curtain, it's not going to be makabel tumas midras anymore. So tahor min midras. Now it's tahor from the tumas midras, because you have the general rule that in order for something to be tumas midras, it has to be that it's regularly able to be used for sleeping on. As opposed to, you have the famous expression amoid v'nasim alachteinu. If people tell them you're sleeping on that, get up. We need to use it for our work. Then it's not makabel tumas midras. The whole when you have perek chavdalet of kalin, a shloisha trisin, and that whole perek,
a lot, most of the dinim in that perek are based on this principle. You'll have, for example, a certain kind of shield, which is meant not only for protecting the soldier in war, but is also shaped in such a way that he can sleep on it at night, so it's makabel tumas midras. Then you have a different kind of shield, which is not meant for that. It's not designed to sleep on, and if a soldier does happen to sleep on it, they would tell him, amoy v'nas malachteinu, we need this shield for battle. It was never meant for you to be sleeping on. And the same thing with all the other cases in that perek. So the same way over here. Once he took this sheet and turned it into a door curtain, so it's not makabel tumas midras anymore. Tosfos points out it would actually have to be that you did a shinui maisa to it. It wouldn't just be enough that you verbally decided, that you verbally designated and hung it in front of the door. It would actually have to be that you did some kind of maisa. You put loops on it or something. You did something in order to make it that now it's clearly a door curtain. It becomes tahor from tumas midras. Because now it's not used for lying on anymore. Ava tomei maga midras, however, it will be tomei with a lesser, so in other words now, something that's tomei midras is actually metame a person who touches it or sits on it himself or whatever. So as long as it was a sheet, then now that the zov sat on it or lay on it, now if another person also goes and sits or lays on it or touches it or whatever, he's going to become tomei. Now that we made it into a curtain, it doesn't have that degree of tumah anymore. Ava tomei maga midras. However, it's still tomei, to the extent of something which touched midras. Meaning, now it's a rishon l'tumah, it's still able to be the tamei food and drink that touches it. The point is, in other words, because all of it is touching itself, because it's all one unit. And therefore, every thread of it, which is tamei midras, touches another one. So therefore, all of them now have the din of maga midras. Of something that touched midras, which makes it a rishon l'tumah. Omer Rav Yosi, however, Rav Yosi says, what do you mean? Be'ezim midras nogazeh. What do you mean? What midras did this curtain touch? This kind of thing would be called naga besa storing. It would be called only that it touched in a place which is not visible to the eye, because where one thread touches the other is not visible. It's a connection inside the caving. So therefore, so Rabbi Yossi argues that Eloshe Nogabe Azov, Tomei Maga Azov. So fine, if a Zov were to touch this curtain, then it would have the Trumah that a Zov touched it, which would be a Rishon L'Trumah. But just the fact that, what does it help? In other words, the Tanakhama is saying the fact that you made it into a curtain takes away the severe Trumah of it, an Ava Trumah, and makes it only a Rishon L'Trumah. Rabbi Yossi argues, no, it wouldn't even be a Rishon L'Trumah. But if before you made it into a curtain, if there were two tumas on it, that it was tumay from the zov sitting on it, as well as if the zov touched it, then you would still have that's when you would say, now that you turn it into a curtain, then now it's not tumay midras, but it's still tumay maga. But Rabbi Yossi is saying, if it never had tumas maga to begin with, if it never had the tuma that a zov touched it, let's say, now of course it could be that the zov sat on it without touching it. It's easy enough to imagine. He could sit on it, he could be sitting on a bunch of them, one on top of the other, and not directly touching this one. They still become tummy because of midras, because all the ones that his weight is supported on are all matami midras, but he didn't actually touch it. So Rashi explains that's what we're talking about over here. That he sat on it without touching it. But Rashi is explaining we're talking about while it was still a sheet. The Rambam explains in Pirush HaMishnayos a little differently, and Bar Tanura brings it over there, that it means that he touches it after it became a curtain. According to that way of looking at it, Rabbi Yossi would say if he touched it when it was still a sheet, then not only does the Tumas Midras go away, then even the Tumas Maga goes away. Only if he touched it after it became a curtain, then Rabbi Yossi is saying, now the fact is, it was touched by a Zav, therefore it'll be a Rishon L'Trumah. So, according to Rashi, then the bottom line is, we're explaining that Rabbi Yossi is talking about he touched it while it was still a sheet, and he sat on it, so now the trauma of sitting, of midras, goes away, but the trauma of touching still remains. According to the Rambam, we'd be talking about that he touched it after it was turned into a curtain. Tosfos also points out, by the way, that even Rabbi Yossi, we would have to say that Rabbi Yossi is talking about where the sheet wasn't folded after the Zav sat on it. because otherwise, yeah, the parts of it are definitely touching one another. And again, Tosfos points out, it can't be that he stepped on it with his bare foot, or with his shoes or anything, because then Midras and Maga would come at the same time. So it has to be, so that's what Tosfos is explaining. Let's say, for example, you have other things that are not Matami Midras in between. Let's say, for example, there was a flat wooden board, which is not Matami Midras, and then underneath it was the sheet, and then the Zav lay on the, and then the Zav lay on the sheet. So there was Tumas Midras, but there wasn't Tumas Maga. In any case, so now continues Abaya. So let's prove from here about this matter of Sovalei Tumah. Let's consider Ki Nogabei Zav Miyatame. So you're telling me that if the Zav does touch it, then it does become Tomei with Tumas Maga. V'afilu b'soif. It sounds like even if it's after, it became Tomei with Tumas Midras. Ki Tomei Midras v'afdach Maga Azav. Namely, that it was first Tomei Midras, and then afterwards the Zav touched it. This is one of those parenthetical notes that seems to have been somebody's marginal note on the side of their Gemara. In any case, so that would be, in other words, first came Midras, then came Maga. So now, and you're saying apparently that Maga still applies. Now, why should it apply? Lema Sovalei Tumah. Shouldn't we say that it's already filled up with Tumah? Once it became Tumah Midras, it can't become more Tumah, and Tumah's Maga shouldn't apply at all, and yet we see that it does. So therefore, says Abaya, you see from that mission, there's no such thing as Sovalei Tumah. Now, so Tosfos explains the question really is Abaya doesn't just want to prove from the Tanakhama that, because maybe you could say the Tanakhama holds Sovalei Tumah, but Rav Yossi holds that not, and that it would come out the Machlokas Abaya and Rava would actually be the same as the Machlokas Tanoim, and Abaya doesn't want to do that. Therefore he wants to prove that even Rav Yossi doesn't hold of Sovalei Tumah, and the Chachamim certainly don't. Further on in the Sugya, Tosfos gives a different answer. We definitely don't say Sovalei Tumah when the Tumah comes from the thing itself. Here we're talking about the Tanakhama is saying that the different parts of the curtain touch one another. So there's no question because every thread touches every other thread, and therefore there's no question that would, therefore there's no question then we don't say Sovalei Tumah. But here we're talking about a Tumah that comes from the outside on the face of it. Even then we see that Rav Yossi is going to say, if the Zav touches it, then it becomes Tumah Maga. So you see that there is a concept of having a second Tumah on top of the first one. So therefore, what are you talking about? Sovalei Tumah. Tosfos has a long discussion over here about various aspects of this kind of din of things that touch when one part of a keli is touching the other with a maga based astarim, in the sense that the actual point of contact is hidden from our eyes because it's inside the keli. Tosfos has a long discussion comparing and contrasting different places in Shas where this kind of point comes up. In any case. So you see, says Abaya, that nobody holds Sovalei Tumah. Omalei, but Rava says, we may dahai shim nogabei azav levasim midras. After all, how do you know that when Rabbi Yossi is saying that if the Zav touches it, it'll become Tumas Maga, how do you know that it means after it became midras? Don't mean become midras. Maybe it means that he touched it first, and later on he sat on it. Davi Tumah Chamoral Tumah Kala. Well, there you have a stronger Tumah on top of a weaker Tumah. And fine, then of course we're not going to say Sovalei Tumah, because it's not full of Tumah. It's not as full of Tumah as it could be. Before, when the Zav touched it, it was only a Rishon LeTumah. Now when he sits on it or lies on it, it's going to be an Ava Tumah. So of course that would happen. Rav Yossi is not necessarily addressing the case where first there was Midras and then Maga. Maybe indeed we would say Sovalei Tumah, Midras being a more severe kind of Tumah, maybe there's no room after that for Tumas Maga. But here, when we ask the question about the two halves of the mincha, and one is not touching another, both of them are tumah kala, both of them are a lesser degree of tumah, then you can maybe well say that no, once it has that degree of tumah, then it's not going to become any more tumah. And therefore, to answer the question, therefore, it wouldn't affect the other half that's in the same kali. So fine. So we can't answer Rava's question based on what we quoted so far. However, Elami Sefer. However, rather than the Gemara, is going to quote the Sefer, is going to quote the Sefer of the Mishnah. It's actually not the Sefer of that Mishnah. It's actually a Braisa. But apparently sometimes they had Braisas that were taught as closely as, because they're very directly connected to the Mishnah, they were taught as though they were a unit with the Mishnah, and therefore we can call it the Sefer, even though they're really two different things. Anyway, this is the Sefer continues. Murder of Yossi, b'shnei sidin amakupolin, or munachin zalzeh. Rabbi Yossi would agree that if you have two sheets that are folded and placed one on top of the other, the yoshav zov aleihen, if a zov sits on them, sha'oyin tomin midras, the top one is going to be tomin midras, because the zov sat on it, v'atachten tomin midras, and so will the bottom one, because we don't care whether he touched it or not, no matter how many sheets or mattresses or what have you, a zov sits on top of, if all of them are meant for sitting or lying or whatever on, and there's no amod v'nasim lachtenu, then all of them will become tomin midras. So then all of them will be tummy midras, umaga midras, and in addition, the top one will also be tummy by virtue of the fact that the zov touched it, because when he sat on the top one, he touched it. And the point being, in other words, that even if he takes the ones further down will be tummy maga midras. The top one will be tummy midras. The bottom one will be tummy maga midras, because not only did it become tummy midras by virtue of the zog sitting on the whole pile, but also it became tummy maga midras by touching the top one. And the point is that now, again, if we take that bottom sheet and turn it into a door curtain, then, as we said before, Tumas Midras will go away, but Tumas Maga will still exist. Tumas Maga Midras will still exist. Shittimu Kubetis brings over here from a Tosfos elsewhere that what we're talking about over here, we have to be talking about why isn't the top one Tomei Maga Midras as well. So we're talking about, let's say, for example, that they're not actually touching one another. There's like a frame, there's like a bed frame between one and the other, and therefore, so only when he puts his weight on it, and now the top one sinks in and touches the bottom one, then it becomes Tomei Maga. But the first one, again, if we're going to say that it's not sovale tumah, if we're going to say that you can't, once something is tomei, that it can't become more tomei, the first one already became tomei the moment that he did midras on it, and therefore there's no room for tumas maga on it. But the bottom one is able to become tumas maga before it becomes tumas midras. So the bottom one is going to be tumei maga midras, and again, therefore, if we turn it into a curtain, then it'll still have that tumas maga. Now, amai. Now, why should it? Why should it be tumah tumas maga? Lema sovale tumah. Why don't we say that it's filled up with tumah from tumas midras, and there's no room for tumas maga anymore? So here again, also, Tosfos brings up over here. The Gemara is going to point out in the answer that there's a difference between two things that happen at the same time versus one after the other. But right now, Abaye doesn't hold. Right now, Abaye doesn't hold of that distinction. So why should it work? And the answer is the difference is that with the two sheets, the two tumas come at the same time. As soon as he sits on the top one and it automatically bends in and weighs on the bottom one, then becomes midras and maga midras at the same time. But here you're talking about with the two esyonis, with the two halves of the isorin, where you have the tumah came on one half, and later on you want to talk about whether the tumah is again going to come on it for the other half and be matame it again, such that it can be matame the other one by tziruf kli, maybe not necessarily. So that's the question. Do we say that distinction between Vasachas and Zeachazer? So again, Tosfos has a lot of discussions about various ins and outs of this. Do we really need to say the Vasachas or the Zeachazer? Are there maybe other ways we could explain it? So we're left with that question and so the Gemara leaves the question open. So would the tumah spread to the other one or not? So we have a suffix on it. Getting back to matters, continuing with matters of Minfa, now that we digress to talk about Tumah and various other dinim related to Tumah, let's get back to the case of a Mincha that was split into parts. Omer Rava, Isorin Shechilko. Here's another case involving an Isorin that was divided into parts. The Ovid Echamehan, suppose that one of those parts was lost. The Hifrish Achar Tachkav, so you set aside another half Isorin, because again, as we learned before the Koimitz is taken, you can do that. The Nimsa Harishon. And now we found the original part. That is Shloshen and Munachen with Bisa, and now all three of them are placed in the Bisa. So you have a Isorin and a half in there, but you really only need an Isorin, because again, you can't have, there's no such thing as a Mincha of an Isorin and a half. So now let's talk more about this matter of Tumah. Nitma Ovud, if the piece that was originally lost and then found becomes Tomei, and Siruf Kli is going to apply because they're in the same Kedi, which ones will become Tomei? Now, we learned on Amud Aleph that when you have a piece that doesn't belong in there, then Siruf Kli is not going to apply to it. Therefore, for example, we said in one of the Priya's son's questions to Rav Kahana, they asked him what happens if you put in a separate piece into the Kedi over there, and you have the other two halves of the mincha are there, and then if Tzivur Yom touches that new piece, are the other ones going to become Tomei? And Rav Kahana had told them no. But now, all three of them, in a way, belong over here, because each one of them was designated for this mincha at one point. So therefore, so Rava says, so Nitma Ovud, if the one that was lost and then found becomes Tomei, Ovud Verishin Mitzarfin, then Siruf Kli is going to make it, that the original half Isarin that was the original half Isarin that was never lost and was never redesignated will become Tomei along with it, because the lost and found piece went together with that. Originally they were part of one mincha. Mufresh, and with Sarif, however, the part that you separated, the part that you designated to make up for the lost part, that will not combine together, because it was never meant to go together with the lost piece. By definition, it was going to go together only with the original piece. So therefore, Siruf Kli won't apply to the replacement piece. So if we give them names, the Rishon means the original piece that was never lost and never needed to be replaced. The Ovud is the one that was lost and we needed to replace, and then the replacement piece would be the piece that we needed to replace the lost one. But now that they're all in the same Kali, if the one that was lost and found becomes Tomei, the replacement piece will not become Tomei, because it has nothing to do with it. Mufresh, suppose that the replacement piece became Tomei, then Mufresh, Vidishin Mitzarfin, then similarly, the replacement piece and the original piece will become Tomei, but the lost and found piece, Ovud Ein Mitzarif, the lost and found piece, will not become Tomei for the same reason, because it doesn't belong together with that replacement piece. Nitma Rishon, however, if the original unlost and unreplaced piece becomes Tomei, Shneim Mitzarfin, then both of them are going to combine with it, because each one of them has a connection with it. Each one would have been its complement, would have finished it off. So therefore, each one has a connection to it, and therefore, Siruf Kli will apply to both of them. Abaya Omer, Abaya says no. It doesn't matter which one of the three became Tomei, and all of them are going to combine together. My time of Kula B'nei Diksa Da'adori Ninu, because they're all hut mates. In other words, a Bikta literally means like a hut, a small house. But in other words, they all came from the koyach of one mincha, and therefore they're still considered to have a connection with one another. Even you're going to say that the lost piece has nothing to do with the replacement piece and vice versa, but the fact is they're all connected to the same mincha. It's like they're all housemates, so to speak. So therefore, the tumah of one will in fact affect all the other ones because of Siruf Kli. Rashi points out from the Gemara and Shabbos, the word Biksa is actually short for Bei Aksa, which means a narrow house, like a little hut or something. So to call them, Bnei Biksa Ninu, is a Bnei Biksa Da'adoni Ninu, means, like you would say in English, like they're housemates or roommates or something. So it means that they all are considered to have a connection, even though you could argue that two of them don't really have a connection with one another, but nevertheless, the fact that they all belong to the same, the fact that they all, at one or another point, belong to this mincha, makes it that now they have a connection to one another, and Siruf Kli will apply. And the Gemara continues, V'chema inin k'mitza. The same argument that Abaya and Rabbah have, as far as Tumah, will also apply as far as the k'mitza. Komatz mina avud, if So if he takes the koimetz, now we learned on Amud Aleph that if the pieces are not connected together in the kegel, can you take the kmitzah from it? We said that it's a suffix, whether we can. So evidently we would have to be talking about over here where in fact afterwards either or Gemara would be according to the would be according to the possibility that you could take the koimetz from it even though they're detached inside the kegel. We would say that in fact you did put them touching one another in the kegel. So the same idea. Komatz mina avud, if you took the koimetz from the piece that was lost and found, shiara verishin necholin, then you're allowed to eat the rest of that lost piece as well as the original first piece, because those together make up a complete mincha. Mufresh and nechol, however, you would not be allowed to eat the piece that was used for the replacement because it didn't go together with that koimetz in the first place. So instead, what do you do? The Chofetz Chaim points out that in the Kota Halachas, you're going to have to bring another half Isarin, combine it together with that replacement piece, and make a complete mincha. So in other words, now, in effect, it's like a mincha that's lacking some of its substance before Kmitza, whereas we said, as we learned back in the first paragraph, Rabbi Yechanan holds that you can, Rabbi Yechanan holds, we had a machlokas, Rabbi Yechanan reshwakish, but the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan, that you can refill it. So in this case, what you're going to do is you're going to consider as though this half Isarin is from a mincha that was originally supposed to be a full Isarin and now half of it is gone. So fine, bring more flour, make up an Isarin, and make another mincha out of it. Similarly, but on the other hand, the lost and found piece and the original piece that was there the whole time, those together will form a complete mincha. Says Rava. Komatz min ha-mufrash, and vice versa, if he took the koimetz from the replacement piece, shiara v'rish and nacholin, same idea. You could eat the koinim can eat the leftover of that, as well as the entire original piece, because those two together combine to form a mincha. Avud and nachol, but the lost piece, the lost and found piece, cannot be eaten, because it was never meant to go with the replacement piece. Komatz min ha-rishin, shneim en nacholin. Komatz min rishin, shneim en nacholin. And if you took the koimetz from the original piece, the one that was never lost and found, and the one that was not used as a replacement, then says Rava, you can't eat the shirayim of either one of them, because either one of them would go together with the original one, and the fact is that the koimetz is only going to be matir one isarim. So therefore, you can only eat the shirayim of the original piece that you took the koimetz from, but you wouldn't be able to eat the shirayim of the replacement piece or of the lost and found piece because you can't be sure which one of them, you can't have both of them combined because the mincha can't be one and a half isarinim, and therefore you can't eat from either of them. Abaya Omar, Abaya says, never mind that, I feel the koimetz me'echamehen, no matter which one of the three he took the koimetz from, shnein en necholin, only the shirayim of that one piece that he took from can be eaten, but not the shirayim of the rest of them, my time, but for the same reason, kulanami, b'nei bitta, da'adari minu, they're all roommates, and therefore they're all counted as one thing. And again, we don't know, in each case, we can say that we don't know basically which other one the koimetz was matir. It's definitely matir, the part from which it itself was taken, but not the other ones. So the Gemara says, Maski for Rapapa. So Rapapa says, I have a question on both Abaya and Rava. Are you telling me, so both Abaya and Rava seem to be saying that you can definitely eat the shirayim of the piece from which you took out the koimetz. The only question is about the other ones. According to Rava, there will be cases when you can eat the shirayim of one of the other ones and cases when you can't, and according to Abaya, you never can. But never mind that, says Rapapa. How can you eat the shirayim of anything? You have over here, in effect, one-sixth of the koimetz that has not been offered, because he took a koimetz on behalf of one and a half Isarinim, meaning, in other words, each half Isarin, so to speak, owns one-third of the koimetz, but a mincha consists of only one Isarin. So it comes out that one-third of that koimetz doesn't belong there. And now if you divide that among the two halves, it means that you're having one sixth of the koimetz doesn't belong over there. So in effect, you have, a danka is actually the name for a small coin that was one sixth of a dinar. And in Gemara terminology, it's usually called a ma, but they came to use the word danka in Gemara terminology in general to mean one sixth. So in effect, what you have is out of this koimetz, one sixth of this koimetz doesn't belong over there. So how can you be eating any shirayim? Or the other way around, actually, you have a 1/6 of the koimetz is missing over here. It means, in other words, that given that both Abaya and Rava agree, after all, that 1/3 of this mincha, 1/3 of this 1.5 Yisroinim doesn't belong. So it comes out that the koimetz that you took is there should have been a larger koimetz in effect, and there isn't. So you're lacking the size of the koimetz. Mas the flood of Yitzchok greater than Meshavshia, and Rav Yitzchok greater than Meshavshia says, I have a different question. The koimetz gufa hechikardik, for that matter, how can you even offer the koimetz itself? How you could plus a cholin, how you could tilt a cholin. Rather, you have 1/3 of what's in this keli is cholin. And therefore, so the koimetz is going to be missing, some is going to be, not strictly speaking, cholin, but fine, it at least doesn't belong to this koimetz. So therefore, the koimetz is going to be lacking something. So the Gemara says Rav Ashi Omer. So Rav Ashi says, or Agosa back changes it to Omer Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi answers the answer to both of those questions. Koimetz v'dayta koyin talya milsa. The answer is that the koimetz really depends ultimately on the das of the koyin. And a koyin ki komets aisorin ki komets. When the koyin is taking the koimetz in the first place, he's having in mind only the isorin. So only the particular isorin that it should apply to. So therefore, so you can't say even if you're in Abaya that you say that all of them are roommates. They're all bnei biksa dahadari. They're all roommates. Nevertheless, the fact is when it comes to the kmitza, the koyin has to have in mind. And he's doing it on behalf of a particular Isaron. So therefore, yes, the koimetz can definitely be offered. The shirayim of the piece from which you took the koimetz can definitely be eaten. As far as the other one, then you'd have the machlokas. So it's not even the machlokas Abaya and Rava. It would actually mean, Rashi says, that since you have the suffix, we can't really know which of the other ones he meant with the kmitza. Then therefore, the result would be you can't eat the shirayim of either one of them. In fact, the Kotei Halachos points out that if the Koyan specifically said that I have in mind for this piece as well as for that piece, then it would work and everybody would agree that then you can even eat the shirayim. But not otherwise, because then we can't really know what it would be. So we have Machlokas Abaya and Rava over here. So even though Abaya argues against Rava and says that they're all considered like roommates and therefore they're all equally well connected, nevertheless, the Rambam paskens, as we usually do, like Rava, and therefore the result is in both those cases, in both the case of the Tuma and in the case of the Kmitza, either way, in fact, the connection will be between the original piece has a connection with each of the other two, but the replacement piece and the lost and found piece do not have to do with one or another, and therefore, in fact, that if he takes the koimetz from one of them, then it doesn't affect the other, and if one of them becomes tamei, then it doesn't affect the other. Okay.